anger and bitterness in your life. Until next week, this is your host, Rick Hughes, saying thank you for listening to The Flatline. Please come back.
Thank you for listening to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. If you'd like to contact Rick, please write to him at P.O. Box 100, Cropwell, Alabama, 35054. Or online at www.rickhughesministries.org.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Well, good morning, State of Jefferson, and a beautiful Sunday morning it is here. And yet another Sunday closer to victory, another Sunday closer to the State of Jefferson coming to fruition. Looking forward to it. A lot of good things going on throughout the counties in the State of Jefferson. And returning from the front lines is my fellow Rebel superstar, Wynn Carpenter. Good morning.
Good morning.
How goes it?
So far, so good.
So you're coming back from El Dorado County.
El Dorado
from
County.
From this last round. It was Amador and Calaveras before that.
Yep.
And how go things in Southland?
Southland is being taken care of very well by our fellow Patriots down there.
That's good to hear.
Yes, they are on board. They are making things happen. Movers and shakers down there.
It is. It's good stuff to see everything that's going along and how hard people are pushing and continue to work. And you know, it is such an amazing team of people that we have in the State of Jefferson. You know, in a lot of ways, it kind of restored my faith in humanity.
Oh, absolutely.
From where I was 3 years ago looking around going, man, is there any John Waynes left in this town? And it is. It's fantastic to see the people that we have and some of the things that we can accomplish. Some of the things that we're going to change with local politics, some of the things that we're going to change on the national level, some of the things that are just really have blossomed and grown from nowhere, from seeds planted by the grassroots.
Absolutely.
It's fantastic to watch, and the power of the unity of that voice, and that's starting to be felt in Sacramento.
Yes, it is.
You know, as much as they try and duck and dodge it and just kind of wave it off like, oh, there's nothing to see here, please move along, the State of Jefferson is influencing.
Absolutely.
Things. It's influencing races, it's influencing policy, it's influencing spheres of thought, and it is changing the dynamic.
And financial support for those that are running for office.
Yeah.
Surprise, surprise.
Surprise, surprise. I thought we warned them a couple of years ago, we'll go after your money.
We did.
We did, and it's working.
It's working because those that have been donating have seen the light and are considering, and well, not considering, they know that Jefferson's the right thing.
It
and
is.
They're on board.
They
and
are.
It's wonderful to see, you know, meeting the people in different counties and whatnot. And yesterday just reaffirmed it when I was at the town hall down in El Dorado Hills. And they held it at the high school, and the high school's pretty good sized building. Their gym there is a pretty good sized building, and they had a nice crowd there, a nice crowd. And according to the committee members down there, there were a lot of new faces, and that's what we're finding: new faces coming in, finding out, hey, what's really going on here? You know, trying to get the information and coming on board and starting to feel the burn, if you want to call it that. And they're excited about it. And they down in El Dorado County, they have a wonderful committee. And, you know, that's Placerville, you know, the historic gold mining towns and shoot 'em up saloons and all that kind of fun stuff. And, well, you and I had a great time down there a year or so ago. And it was so much fun. And the people down there are just, they're hungry for it. We walked down through the downtown while we were there this weekend just to, you know, connect with people and the shop owners. And they're all saying, yes, 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 make it happen, make it happen. And a lot of them were carrying all the Jefferson gear. And
so,
and more want it, so, you know, making those connections. And it's interesting to see. You know, we went to the gun shops there and talk to them, and they're all excited about it, and they're making things happen, and it's happening down there.
And some of the things that we've been talking about is we are starting to form our identity of who we are as Jeffersonians.
Yep.
And what it means to be a Jeffersonian.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think you used the key word hungry, is we have seen so many people that are hungry to understand what it is that we are entitled to as Americans, what we are entitled to as citizens, to understand the fundamentals of our government and reestablish that connection with it. I think hungry is the optimal word.
They are. And once you introduce the information to them, whoever is speaking there, whether it's Mark or Terry or myself, whoever, when you start introducing that information to them, they start, you know, the wheels start turning, and they're like, okay, well, what do I need to do? You know, and sometimes it's like they want to jump before they really think about it. It's like, okay, so, you know, you kind of have a little dialogue with them and kind of get them grounded. Okay, feet back on the ground. Okay, let's stay focused, because they get so excited, and it's good to see that.
Well, and then you make the connections with people, and, you know, and they ask you, well, where can I get this information,
right,
or where can I get that? And, you know, you give them kind of a couple of good places to start,
mm-hmm,
and, you know, you give them an email or a phone number and say, if you need anything, get a hold of me, you know, and then all of a sudden you get this email, hey, I went through the Constitution, part of the California Constitution, I'm halfway through the Federalist Papers, and it's like, dude, I met you like 12 hours ago.
Exactly.
And it's fun to see that thirst and that hunger for knowledge.
Yeah.
And that is the most powerful tool in the Jefferson box, is knowledge of who we are, who we're supposed to be, and what we're trying to reestablish.
Yes.
You know, in essence, we're trying to break a form of government that historically has never worked. In essence, what we have in California is we have the city-state system. And the old city-state system of, say, the Greek city-states is where Athens was a very powerful city, and Sparta was a very powerful city, and Thebes was a very powerful city, and they were all in league with each other, but they weren't unified. They weren't, mm-hmm, as one, and they were often working in opposite directions. And if you were in the outlying area controlled by one of those city-states, forget it.
Oh, yeah, no choice.
You know, again, the urban population determined what was best for the urban population at the expense of the people that fed the urban centers.
Right.
You know,
right.
And that's who we are. We're the people that provide your water. We're the people that provide your food. We're the people that provide your building materials. We are the people that keep you alive. And instead of a mutual understanding relationship, it's almost out of like the book The Time Machine, where we're the Morlocks, you know, we're under the ground, and yep, you know, we're the unloved and the forgotten about. But if we were to fall off, what are they going to do without us?
Oh, they'll just call somebody. They'll just make a call, a collect call at that.
Yeah, why can't we go to the grocery store and get food like everybody else?
Yeah, that's where all our steaks come from, wrapped in cellophane. Yeah.
They just magically appear overnight.
It just shows up.
Yeah.
Well, it was really good to go down there and meet with the people down there. It's like fellowship, if you want to call it that. We spent the weekend with a couple that Mike and Linda Thomas, they hosted us. They invited us to come and stay. They said, don't stay at a hotel because, you know, it's expensive down there. And they were right. It was like $200 a night for a stinking hotel. And
wow.
We're like, wait a minute. You know, and this is coming out of our pocket. You know, we do all this on our own. And so Mike and Linda were gracious. They hosted Terry and I and James and Stacy. And we hung out there with them and got to really know them. And Terry Girardi from another committee down there, she was there too. So we got to have some really good time spent with committee members down there,
mm-hmm,
and get to know them. And they got questions answered. We got to hear what their concerns were. And so we, you know, you learn more about the whole movement by having that dialogue in that personal quiet time when you're just sitting around the dinner table. And it was really, really good to do that.
And the collected brain power.
Yes, yes.
It's, you know, we get the argument, how can you make the state of Jefferson work? And it's like, have you met our people? How could we not?
Right, right.
I mean, the people that we've met over the last years are brilliant.
Yes.
And there's some people that are brilliant in this aspect of it, are brilliant. And you take all those people and put them together in a room and see what they come up with,
mm-hmm,
and it's amazing. It's fantastic. It's heady. the things that we could accomplish.
And the thing is, everybody has a common goal in that we're doing it for our posterity. The more people you talk to,
mm-hmm.
I mean, it just goes on and on and on. They say, well, it's too late for me, but I want it done for my kids and my grandkids. And we're saying, no, it's not too late for you. We're going to make this happen. And it doesn't matter how old you are.
Yeah.
And people are, well, you know, I'm working this because I dropped the ball. You know, I wasn't paying attention when I should have been. And I was busy working and doing this or that or the other and didn't pay attention to government being run who were supposed to be representing me. And so now they're flipping the switch and it's like, huh, not on my watch. So now they're trying to make some corrective actions and we're working it hard. And so they're definitely making things happen there. Some brilliant people, whether they're formally educated or not, brilliant people. And they have common sense.
Yes.
And they have moral and ethical beliefs that they know need to be addressed within the government part of it. So it's like, let's do this the right way. Let's take care of this the correct way. Let's be above board about this. So we all have that same common goal. And it's really cool to see that all just melding together in the counties that we're going to, because it's happening in every single county.
Mm-hmm.
So it's good to see that.
And the sword becomes better forged and sharper.
Absolutely.
At every turn. You know, we've said for a long time, every day California grows weaker while we grow stronger.
Absolutely.
And there's so much truth to that. Is you look around at the things going on in California, and it's beginning to crumble around us. It's been crumbling for 20, 30 years, but we're really starting to see it. And the powers of B's answer is double down on that failure.
Yeah.
Double down and double down on it again, and take more and take more.
Well, and I found a couple of people that, you know, just having a little bit of dialogue with them, and they heard my story, so they sought me out, so we talked about it. And they're CalPERS employees, and they're considering doing exactly what I did. They said, I need to bail now because I want to keep my retirement money, whatever I have in the pot right now. I want to keep that. I don't want California to get it.
Mm-hmm.
And then be out of a job on top of it. Then that's a double down negative for you, you know. And so they're really seriously considering that.
And
they
should. You know, we in Jefferson will do everything that we can to preserve and honor the CalPERS contracts when we transfer to a new state. But a lot of that will be up to CalPERS.
Mm-hmm.
And CalPERS is hemorrhaging right
now. Oh, yeah.
It's bad. You know, they're basically, CalPERS is on the table and they're hitting it with the shock paddles, trying to jumpstart it. And it's not going to happen.
No.
You know, we got a look at the real numbers of CalPERS that we said CalPERS 3 years ago. We said CalPERS was $1.2 trillion in debt. Everybody told us we were nuts. We didn't have any idea what we were talking about. Oh, they're smoothing the funds. Everything's okay. Oh, no. We're on the blended glide path. Everything's okay. And then somebody did an independent study. The University of Stanford did an independent study and said, you guys are dead.
Yeah.
Already.
Yeah.
You know, our unfunded liability just in CalPERS is 60% of the gross domestic product of California. The eighth largest economy in the world by aggregate, and 60% of what we produce is required just to pay the bills on CalPERS.
Hmm.
That's unsustainable.
How does that work?
It doesn't.
And then how do people that are in those positions watching the funds and balancing the budgets of those funds?
They ought to be in prison.
Exactly. How do they not come out unscathed? I don't get it.
I don't know. And to a certain extent, you've got to look at what's happened to CalPERS, okay? They were forced to invest in the subprime loan scandal that was set up by Barney Frank and Bill Clinton and those guys back in the day. So they have these huge amounts of holdings in bad mortgages with Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac and all of those things. And that crippled them, because who knows when those assets will recover to the value that they were purchased at.
If ever.
If ever.
Yeah.
Okay. And then they, on their own, went into foreign debt and junk bonds and things like that, which was stupid. It was, who's buying anybody's debt right now? Because nobody's paying their debt.
Right.
And that crumbled out from under them. And the last leg that kept CalPERS solid was their energy portfolio. They were into fracking and natural gas and things. And that was managing to keep CalPERS' head above water, barely. But it was there. And who's responsible directly for forcing them out of that is Jerry Brown and the United Nations and his environmental policy. They went to CalPERS. They basically told the workers of California that you either divest from the one part of your fund that is keeping you above float, or we're going to start to tax you on your carbon footprint of your stock portfolio.
Oh, jeez.
It's complete fiction.
And it's all made-up stuff. Nothing's tangible.
No. There's no real science behind it. What is a carbon footprint?
Lord only knows. When you burp, I mean, is that it?
Yeah, am I supposed to write that down in a little journal? I farted four times today. I estimated, you know, to be at a cubic yard apiece.
Yeah.
You know, I ate a steak today, and the carbon footprint of that steak after production through the butcher, and how many times the cow may have farted, you know.
Right.
Hey, what is a carbon footprint?
Yeah.
It's this completely abstract number that they have developed to tax you.
Yeah.
They're taxing air.
It's common core for taxation.
It is. It is insanity, and it's what's devastated CalPERS. And, you know, they've always said that there will be a big one that causes California to fall off into the ocean. This is it.
This is it, yeah.
This literally is it, because it's not going to be the state that screws all of the workers. It's going to be the local municipalities that have no choice.
Yeah.
Okay, because CalPERS has taken their data, their unfunded liability, off the books and said it's not our unfunded liability, it's your unfunded liability. City of Redding, that's your unfunded liability. County of Shasta, that's your unfunded liability. County of Placer, that's your unfunded liability. It's your responsibility to come up with the funds required to pay these retirement packages.
From the very same people who have paid into it.
Yeah.
So they're going to tax them.
Yeah. So you have to take the money from the people that paid in to pay the people that paid in.
Yeah.
It's insane.
It is.
And it's unsustainable, because the numbers are so huge. Take City of Reading, for example.
Mm-hmm.
We have roughly 700 city employees. Okay. We have roughly 1,500 retirees.
Yeah.
Now, on a one-to-one basis, which it doesn't even work out to a one-to-one basis, but to keep it simple.
Yeah.
Say those 700 employees contribute into CalPERS and they cover their portion of CalPERS and 700 of the retirees. That leaves 800 retirees that the City of Reading basically has to put back on the payroll.
Yeah.
How do you do that?
Yeah.
Okay. Our CalPERS exposure in the City of Reading is already 286% of payroll. Okay. And then you're going to more than double that. Then you have to take in the effect that they've been lying about their actuaries. So you take 286% of payroll and you double that. Okay, you're looking at almost 600% of payroll for CalPERS. Then you take the fact that they've been overvaluing the actuaries by 40%. So add another 40% to that 600%. Okay, and you start to see the domino effect that's coming very quickly.
Yeah.
And when the rubber meets the road with the budget with the City of Reading, what option are they going to have? There's one option: bankruptcy.
Yeah.
And what happens to a CalPERS employee when their local municipality goes bankrupt?
They go clear to the back of the line.
They don't
even get in line, because there's not going to be anything left for them to get into line four.
No, they'll become an unsecured creditor.
Yeah.
And you will lose everything that you've worked your entire life for.
Right. Yeah.
And it's these kinds of things that we are desperately trying to put a stop to by restoring good government. And the way that you restore good government is you bring that government as close to the people as possible.
Absolutely.
And how do you do that? You bring back representation on the county level.
Mm-hmm.
You increase the amount of representation. You make the people's voices heard so things like this don't happen anymore.
Right.
Okay, you're going to have an entire generation of folks in California that are going to be broke. In their golden years, they're being turned into brown years very quickly.
Well, and you make those that attempt to do that, you make it criminal, and you hold them to that.
You should. You
throw them in Pelican Bay. I don't care where you throw them. They go serve their time, and they lose everything they have.
And you ought to turn it on its head. Instead of the pensions being liquidated to fund the assets, maybe it's time to start liquidating some of the government's assets to fund the pensions to keep up the end of the contract.
Absolutely.
You know, and how do we do that? Well, you've got to do that horrible thing and cut government spending.
Well, and they're holding real estate. Really? Let go of it.
Let go of it.
Except for the parts that are absolutely essential. You know, if they have vacant lots sitting
maybe
around town.
Maybe they can get a TARP loan.
Oh, baby.
You know, or find a way to put them into some kind of good use.
Yeah.
You know, take the hit on the chin and start liquidating some of these homes.
Absolutely.
You know, stimulate the market. Something. But, you know,
it'll pay off.
All of these things are things that will not be accomplished under our current system.
No, yeah, absolutely right.
You know, because they really will play the three monkeys in Sacramento, hear no evil, see no evil, speak no evil, right up until the end.
And then we start whacking them all. We just kind of start whacking them.
Exactly.
That's our job, and that's what we're doing.
And with that, we probably better get off to our first break, and we'll be talking about this and more on the other side.
Hi, this is Kyle DeFore from Mighty Fine Foods in Bella Vista. Summer is here and Mighty Fine Foods is your one-stop shop on the way to the lake. We barbecue every Friday and have everything you need to maximize your summer fun. Stop by the deli for daily specials under $5, sandwiches made to order, and hot food served all day. With over 1,000 cold drinks, more than 250 beers, a full liquor and wine section, and the best meat prices you'll find anywhere, Mighty Fine pairs big store selection with small store service. Mighty Fine is just a short drive east of Reading at the corner of 299 and Deschutes in beautiful Bella Vista. Locally owned and operated since 1977, Mighty Fine.
KCNR, Shasta, Reading.
Did you know that California was never supposed to be just one state? Before the state was formed in 1850, there was discussion of forming three states instead of one. California has an area larger than seven East Coast states combined, and it takes 14 hours to drive from one end of the state to the other. California is simply too large to govern. Rural communities are being outvoted by more densely populated areas. The state of Jefferson is the solution. Please visit SOJ51.net to show your support.
NorCal Limousine Services is a family-owned business right here in Reading. We offer beautiful limousines and sedans with rates starting as low as $55 per hour. Do you have kids? We have amazing birthday packages for as low as $150. Sure, they can jump around all day or enjoy a memorable birthday they will talk about for years to come with NorCal Limousine. Driving to any of the major airports from Reading can be a drag. Ride with us in style and avoid the long drive and parking fees. We service the Sacramento and San Francisco airports as well as all the cruise lines.
Hello, my name is Jamie, the owner of NorCal Limousine, and I have over 14 years in experience in the limousine industry. I know how to treat you right and will always be discreet. If you have never rented a limo before, you should give us a call at 276-8851. It's more affordable than you think and a whole lot more fun than driving yourself.
Like our Facebook, check out our Yelp reviews, and mention KCNR for additional savings. That's NorCal Limousine at 276-8851 or NorCalLimo.com. TCP 31143.
Do you think that the government is going to take care of you?
Do you believe the government is telling you the truth?
Do you believe mainstream media is telling you the truth?
Do you believe unemployment has gone down?
Do you think that printing money out of thin air and charging interest on it is constitutional?
Do you think it's right to enslave the next generation with debt?
Do you believe that we are following the Constitution as intended by our founders?
Are you self-reliant?
Are you ready for the economic collapse that is coming? Do you want the truth?
Sovereign Minds Radio moves to a new time, 9 to 11 a.m. Sundays. Sovereign Minds Radio, the place to get your news before the revolution starts.
KCNR, 1460 AM. If we're not talking about it, it's probably not important. KCNR, 1460 AM.
Well, we're moving on up,
moving on
to the east side, to a deluxe apartment in the sky. We're moving on up,
moving on up
to the east side. We finally got a piece of the pie. Fish don't fry in the kitchen, a beef don't burn on the grill. Took a whole lot of trying. Just to get up that hill. Now we're up in the big league. Kids won't turn that back. As long as we live, it's you and me, baby. Ain't nothing wrong with that. We're moving on up.
We are.
Every day, a little bit closer and a little bit closer.
Yes, sir.
You know, and it can't help but feel like a little bit like we're up towards the top of the mountain and looking down now. So
yeah,
that's encouraging too. And you know, as we were talking about before the break, the way that you bring back good government is you get the government as close to the people as you can.
Yes.
Okay. It's one of the things that Mark Baird speaks a lot about. You know, as an example, in New Hampshire, a representative in New Hampshire represents about 3,000 people. You know, they go and they meet their 3,000 constituents and they hear their voice and they go and they do their job.
Yep.
Or they don't and they get yarded out of their seat.
Yes.
Very quickly.
Yep.
Whereas in California, we have the worst representation and voter dilution in the country by far. By far, the next worst state than us is we're well over double how bad they are.
And that one's Texas, where all the Californians are migrating to.
Where all the Californians are going. How do you represent a million people?
You don't. You can't.
How do you represent a half million people?
Again, you don't and you can't.
You know,
it's just not possible.
For Senate District 1, you know, Steve Baird is going to have a big juggling act when he takes that job over from
somebody, some unknown.
What's his name is.
Yeah.
But, you know, when you represent that many counties, when you represent 11 counties,
yeah,
and you run into conflicts where, say, Siskiyou County and Placer County are at odds over a decision, how does he split the baby? How does he become Solomon on that? And I actually have faith in Steve to be able to accomplish that, because he'll go to Siskiyou County and he'll talk to the people in Siskiyou County and he'll go to the people in Placer, in Placer County. And if it takes it, I think he'll put those people in a room and knock their heads together until they come out with something that works.
Right. Yeah.
But still, that is not the most effective form of government we can have.
Yeah.
There ought to be a guy defending Siskiyou County.
Yes.
There ought to be a guy defending Placer County, and they can butt their heads together and figure out how to make it work.
Absolutely.
With the contributions of everybody else in place. And one of the biggest, most pervasive, destructive things to our Republican system is, let's be honest, it's money and campaign contributions.
It is, yes.
Because why do you need those campaign contributions? Well, you got to reach a million people.
Yeah.
You know, you got to reach a half million people. You've got to get your face in front of a half million people to a million people enough times that you have name recognition, so the average soccer family that comes time to vote goes, oh, well, I know that name, check.
Yep.
And that's another problem with our form of representation, is the average working family doesn't have time to know who their representative is. They have very minimal information who to operate on, whereas if you restore it down to a small portion, you're talking to a very small amount of people in your community that have direct knowledge of the person. You have direct knowledge of the person.
Right.
And that's what we have to fix. I mean, campaign contributions, when did we let this get out of hand?
Oh, my gosh, you're crazy.
You know,
and it's corporate now.
It is. who is George Washington's biggest campaign contributor?
That would be George Washington.
Did he even have a campaign?
He had a couple campaigns.
Yeah, I mean...
But they did what they had to do to make it work.
Exactly. They were self-made men.
Self-made, yes.
You know, and it's impossible for a self-made man, unless your name's Trump and you're a billionaire, to run your own campaign outside of the system.
Right.
You know, and that's something that we're looking to fix. That's what's beautiful about what we're doing, is it cures so many symptoms of bad government in one shot. You know, restore the representation. Bring it back down to the people.
Well, and too, like you were just talking about, Steve Baird happened to do this in 11 counties. And you look at, he has to file paperwork in every single county, excuse me, and he has to file a fee in every single county.
Mm-hmm.
And those fees vary. And Shasta County is $2,800 alone. And then Placer was like $2,700, $2,600. I mean, you start adding those up amongst all those counties, and good Lord, before he even gets started, he has to pay $12,000 before the rubbers even hit the road.
Yeah.
And then signage in all those counties. Do you know how many miles of road there is out there?
Yeah, it's not right.
It's not right. And
close to right. Nor is it defendable.
And it's not. And that is the problem that we're talking about. Getting it to where if Steve chose to run, he could run in his own home county.
Mm-hmm.
Great. Perfect. And then somebody else in every other county, all the other counties, they could have their own individual running and have equal and rightful representation. Whereas poor Steve is running all over trying to get the representation so he can be the senator for our district, which is enormous. It's wrong. It's wrong on every level.
Whereas our current representative has, what, three or four offices in the district, three of which he never sets foot in.
Yeah, yeah.
How is that representation? How is that voice to the people?
It's not.
It's not even close.
Not even close.
You know, this is why it's so fundamental that we fix what we're doing and
yep.
that we do what we're doing. And, you know, as you were talking about earlier, people having that hunger to understand the fundamentals of our government, having that thirst of knowledge of knowing something's broke,
right.
knowing in their core something's broke, but not being able to identify it, not being able to understand what's wrong, what's not working. And once they grasp that very fundamental knowledge, it becomes very quick and easy for them to identify why Jefferson is absolutely the solution, not only for us, but for the rest of the nation.
Absolutely.
It'll work in Ohio. It'll work in Nebraska. It'll work everywhere. It worked before.
In New York. Good Lord, the rural people from New York, they're just like us. They're fighting the big city, and they want out. They want separation. They want done. They're maxed out.
Can you blame them?
Not at all. Absolutely not at all.
I wouldn't want to be associated with Babylon either. You know, there's another form of economic warfare that you're pointing out to is the people in Western New York are in very rich oil land, very rich natural gas land, and they're looking right across the border at their neighbors in Pennsylvania that are booming and doing very well,
yep.
and have jobs, and here they sit broke and unable to do anything. Why? Because the policy dictated by the state of New York? No.
No.
Because of policy dictated by the city of New York.
That's right.
That's hundreds of miles to the east and has nothing to do with it.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's not right. That's subjugation. That's slavery.
That is.
And that's what we're suffering under here. And it has to end.
It does. And once it starts rolling out, people get it. They start understanding it. And we're being watched all over the country. We know that.
Mm-hmm.
We have communications from people in all different states on what we are doing in Jefferson. And it's wonderful to hear their support. It's wonderful to hear their questions, and you have dialogue with them. And learning, it forces us to learn more on what we're doing mm-hmm. so that we make sure that we're giving the right information, because we're very careful about that. We give them information that we know to be fact, but also we also preface it by saying this is what we're doing, and we're hoping to go down this road. And, you know, we explain ourselves so that it's not a written in stone type of testimony, I guess, if nothing else. But we're trying to make sure that we explain to the best of our abilities what we're doing and why we're doing it and how we're doing it.
Well, we're a rare creature.
Mm-hmm.
We ought to be on the endangered species list.
We already are.
we are on the endangered species list. We're trying to get off of it. But we are American citizens with a fundamental understanding of our government.
Mm-hmm.
I would submit to you, hands down and not blink twice and put money on it, that we know the form of government that we're intended to have and the way that the government is supposed to work better than 98% of the politicians that are sitting in there.
Absolutely, because they don't have a clue.
Do they know how the system works better than we do? Yes, they do.
They're playing the game.
But that's not the system of government that we're supposed to have.
Well, we have some of them even saying, we have a democracy. It's like, no, we're not supposed to have a democracy. It's a republic.
It is a republic. And here's one of the things that we hear a lot of times. You guys just don't understand how it works. You guys just don't get it. Well, why do I want to spend my time learning how to play the game by the wrong set of rules?
Yeah.
Why would I want to do that? You're doing it wrong. We want to play by the rules. That's all we're asking.
Yeah.
You know, and I heard something. I had a conversation with a Keep a California person, maybe a year ago, and out in front of the Trinity County Courthouse. And she didn't realize I was a Jeffersonian. And, you know, just kind of asking some questions. And she goes, you know, I understand those people's frustrations in there. They have been forgotten. They have been ignored. And the government really needs to start paying attention to them and helping them out. And I'm sitting there thinking, lady, you don't get it. The point is to get the government out of the way and they'll help themselves.
Absolutely.
And they'll be good at it.
Better.
Better.
And they'll hold themselves accountable.
Exactly. And
nobody has a guarantee of success.
That's right.
But you do have the guarantee to try.
To try.
And if you fail, you have the guarantee to try again.
Well, and when you fail, then you figure out, okay, that didn't work, so let's go to plan B or whatever. You know, it's
exactly.
You work at it. It's a work in progress. And we all know that. I mean, heck, we've failed on so many things to this point, and we're going to fail on other things. We know that because that's part of the process.
Yeah.
And not being afraid to, you know, quickly change midstream when you have to make it work. It's like, oh, great, this is going the wrong direction. We need to shift gears.
Well, that again, comes to restoring representation and bringing government back down to the level of the people, because then government can be responsive. Mm-hmm. Government can be what it needs to be to change things.
Right.
Yet at the same time, securing it in such a manner with a constitution that it is not just susceptible to the whim of the day.
Right.
That, you know, because something happens and the mob gets together, that all of a sudden we've amended our constitution 540 sometimes, like California's done.
Crazy.
Yeah. So, with that, we got Patty on the phone.
Hi, guys.
Hey, Patty. Hey, how's Patty. It going?
Good. I wanted to tell you about our flag wave on Wednesday. We had, for Tehama County, we had a presence in Corning on the overpass there by Bartels, and we had a presence on Ida Dobe Road up there by the Dodge dealer in Red Bluff, and more honks and waves than we did the last time we did this. It was such a boost in the arm, and, you know, highway patrol going by, flipping their lights at us, people, young people on the overpass hanging out of the windows, "Go Jefferson!" And in Red Bluff, they said they actually had a semi-truck pull off the freeway, come up on the overpass, and stop and tell them, "Come look at my door. It says Yuba City, Jefferson." And then yesterday, we had the Roundup Parade in Red Bluff, and we had Mike on the trailer with a microphone telling people, "Hey, we haven't gone away. We are working on this. It's going to happen, and we're having a town hall on April 30th at 4 o'clock at the Red Bluff Elks Lodge." And so, you know, we've had a good week.
Perfect.
Good.
See, that's it. Patriots, yeah. Jeffersonians and doing the work.
And we're winning.
And we're winning.
Every day we are stronger.
Well,
yeah, and we handed out all the literature we had. It was gone before we were at the end of the parade route.
Well done, Tehama County. That's awesome.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Good show.
All right.
Thanks, Patty.
Thanks. Bye.
And that is true. Compared to where we were when you started, when you drive around town, you see it.
Yes.
There's Jefferson stickers. There's Jefferson flags. And again, that comes down to forming that identity.
Yep.
You know, it's not something that happens overnight where the North State goes, "Hey, we're Jeffersonians," and we know what that means.
Yeah,
we're
in the dark of night undercover, yeah.
And we are forming our own identity as to who we are, and the fallout and the shakeout of the dialogue of what is Jefferson, what should Jefferson look like, what should Jefferson be. And I'm extremely encouraged.
Mm-hmm.
Because for the most part, it's people that just want to be free and independent.
That's right.
They're not looking for a government handout. They're not looking to increase government services. They're not looking. They're looking to just make their own way and be allowed to do it.
Because they know they can do a better job.
And
sink or swim. They will make it happen. And that's the beauty of the people that live in the North State. We're doers.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's a doer in some form or fashion. Everybody's a doer. And given the opportunity, we can do well. And if we just get the government out of our way, and where the people have the voice within the government, we can take care of business and be on our own and take care of our own. And we can even take care of others when given the opportunity to do it.
Yeah, and we will. You want to see the finest example of people in the North State, I say look at wildfire season.
Oh,
every year.
Yeah.
You know, every year, everything gets set aside.
Yep.
Political arguments, old beefs, everything, and everybody pulls together during wildfire season.
Absolutely.
That's who we are at our fundamental core, and that's why we can't fail.
Right.
Because when the rubber meets the road, we will come together, we will stand together, and we'll make it happen because it needs to happen.
Yep. Yeah.
You know, I don't have a lot of faith that our fellow cousins down in the South could do the same thing. I think if they got hit by devastation, they'd sit there and wait for FEMA to show up.
That's too scary.
They wouldn't have a clue.
Yeah.
And it's you know, that's not necessarily a statement on them or their character, but they've never known any other way. They've never had to do it for themselves.
Right.
There's always been something there to provide that service for them. Unfortunately, that service is provided by the sweat of somebody else's back, and they're tired of it.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's part of the process.
It is. And with that, we better get off to another break here, and we'll see you on the other side.
You keep saying you got something for me. Something you call love, but confess. You've been a messin' where you shouldn't have been a messin'. And now someone else is getting all your best. These boots are made for walking, and that's just what they'll do. One of these days these boots are gonna walk all over you.
Do you think that the government is going to take care of you?
Do you believe the government is telling you the truth?
Do you believe mainstream media is telling you the truth?
Do you believe unemployment has gone down?
Do you think that printing money out of thin air and charging interest on it is constitutional?
Do you think it's right to enslave the next generation with debt?
Do you believe that we are following the Constitution as intended by our founders?
Are you self-reliant?
Are you ready for the economic collapse that is coming? Do you want the truth?
Sovereign Minds Radio moves to a new time, 9 to 11 a.m. Sundays. Sovereign Minds Radio, the place to get your news before the revolution starts.
Not your average petroleum company, Northern Lights Energy.
Hello, Frank and Kathy Muse with Northern Lights Energy. The Ethanol Free 93 is ready for the lawnmowers and weed eaters and chainsaw folks, so come by and try it out. Cody says bring those barbecue bottles in and get them filled up, or we have the exchange program. We have another load of Clear Pearl come in for all the portable heaters and the red kerosene for the others. Our Toyo Tommy heaters and on-demand hot water heaters are being installed all the time by Johnny, so give him a call. Northern Lights Energy, for deliveries to homes, job site, and ranches. If you need it, we bring it, including bulk oil deliveries. In Corning, stop and see Robin. In Weaverville, get a hold of Joe. In Redding, the rest of the crew. Northern Lights Energy, 241-2196. Thanks a lot.
Northern Lights Energy.
Uncle Bob, where did Mount Shasta spring water come from? Well, you see, we get wrung out of the clouds as we pass over the top of Mount Shasta. Then we become part of huge glaciers. Then we flow through miles of volcanic rocks. Then we pop out of a spring at the base of Mount Shasta. Uncle Bob, where did I come from? You'll have to ask your parents about that one.
Pure and simple, naturally the best. Mount Shasta spring water.
For free delivery and setup, call 1-800-922-6227. Or go to MountShastaSpringWater.com.
When I turned 18, I couldn't wait to vote. After all, voting is a privilege for all Americans, right? Then I did the math. Did you know that the northern third of California only has 3 out of 80 seats in the Assembly and 3 out of 40 seats in the Senate? Northern California has no representation, and my vote doesn't count. Splitting from California and forming the state of Jefferson is the only remedy. Please visit SOJ51.net for more information. Please donate now to help restore representation.
KCNR, 1460 AM, the most local programming in Northern California.
The voice in my head, hey, it's telling me that I should stay in my bed, cause it's two in the night. Why can't I sleep when it's two in the night? Cause the fire in my soul, hey, the fire in my soul got me ready to fight, and I'm ready for war. Over. You know I've been so lost in translation, like I'm fighting for truth in Babylon, trying to find my peace in the zone of war.
Even when the day comes,
yeah.
Even when the day comes, even when the day comes.
Yes, we are.
The day is coming.
The day is here. You know, and it really is. It is a war that's mm-hmm. being waged upon us. There's nobody that can refute the argument that we are an occupied people and that our own government is committing economic warfare upon us to try and drive us out.
And then they sprinkle it with a little bit of chemical from above. All the other garbage and drama.
But we're winning.
But we're winning.
We are. Every day. You know, that's we were just discussing Keep It California. And where is Keep It California gone? They're not at the meetings to fight us or resist us anymore. They're not there. And, you know, we always said, you know what? We're not worried about Keep It California. We're not scared of Keep It California. Let them bring it on. Stack their numbers against our numbers and see who's right. Well, guess who won that argument?
We again.
Did.
Again.
Although I understand Keep It California may not be gone altogether. They're just operating from Texas now.
Waiting for their CalPERS.
Waiting for their CalPERS check. So, with that, we've got Sally on the phone.
Hey, Sally.
Good morning.
How goes it?
I just wanted to follow up on Patty's call because we, too, did a Happy Birthday Thomas Jefferson on April the 13th, which is Thomas Jefferson's birthday, mm-hmm. on the corner of Cypress and Hilltop. And we had an interesting thing happen as we were out there. There were about 12, 15 of us on the four corners there and waving our flags and singing Happy Birthday to Thomas Jefferson. And Homeland Security pulled in around, parked in the parking lot, watched us for a few minutes, and pulled back out. And we also had a helicopter buzz us. And we thought that was rather interesting and kind of strange. So one of our gals Googled what would cause, you know, Homeland Security to want to come and check us out, basically. And she discovered that because we were flying, some of us had the Gadsden flag, the Don't Tread on Me flag. That is probably what prompted it.
That's the trigger, isn't it?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, Don't Tread on Me.
Yeah. Isn't that interesting?
You guys are talking louder.
Isn't that interesting how that came from, you know, early America, when before we were even a country, that flag was being flown and supported and fought under, and then now they're thinking we're terrorists of some sort because they're flying the flag.
Maybe we should just mail Homeland Security a bunch of red coats.
So anyway, we are not going, we're not going to stop. We have lots of things going on here in Shasta County and the other counties. We're all doing fairs this year, car shows. We'll be have a presence at Cool April Night, so people will know that we are definitely still moving on with Jefferson.
Absolutely. Alrighty. We are doing it. And like Sally just said, that we're doing the car show. We're going to have cars in the cruise that have Jefferson information on them. We're going to have a booth over by Bricks and Kubler's at Kubler's. They've been gracious enough to give us a spot there, so we're going to have our table out there if people want to come by and say hi and sign this support statements. And we're going to have teams walking through the cruise parade route prior to the cruise and asking for signatures and getting support out there and getting the information out there to all the fellow patriots.
So the Gadsden flag is reason for Homeland Security to show up, huh?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I think I'll go out today and tattoo it on my forehead then.
All right, guys, I'll let you go. I know you only have a few minutes left.
Thanks,
right,
Sally.
Thanks, Sal.
Have a great Sunday.
You too.
Bye.
You know what? I'm not even going to let it aggravate me. To hell with those people.
Yeah.
You know what? Seriously, to hell with them.
It's just a different twist. You know, things are being done. And to think that they want to intimidate. That's not going to intimidate us.
No.
It doesn't bother us any.
No. You better stay away from us, because before you know it, you're going to be out there eating a hot dog, flying a flag yourself.
That's right.
We're a virus, you know, according to this good senator up there in Oregon. People like us are a virus, a contagion.
Yeah.
And you know what? He's right. We're contagious. Liberty is contagious. So with that, we got Mort on the phone.
Good morning, Mort.
Good morning, gentlemen. Thank you for being there. I appreciate your laughter. My favorite missionary was a guy who went to Africa, and he spoke to the leaders of the nations, the leaders of the communities, and I think that's the proper way to go. Now, what is our gentlemen, such as the sheriffs and the others, who are thinking about CalPERS? Are they worried that CalPERS is not going to supply their retirement? I think it'd be wise to go to the leaders and say, hey, we got troubles here. What are you going to do about it? What's your opinion?
Well, I think
take my answer off the air.
Okay, thank you, Mort. I think they're
privately scared and nervous about it. What they're going to do, I can't say, because I don't know.
Mm-mm. And they're being tight-lipped about it themselves. You know, there's a certain amount of denial that goes into things like this. Oh, well, it won't happen to me.
Yeah.
You know, well, maybe the new guys won't, you know,
yep.
get that good a deal. Well, there'll be enough there for me, right?
Yeah.
You know, well, if I retire out before this whole thing collapses, everything will be okay, right? So I think there's a certain amount of denial. I think there's a great many of our officials whose eyes are closed to a great many things that they don't want to see because the truth is very uncomfortable for them.
Awkward, uncomfortable, yep.
You know, and
make some sweat.
And there is a tendency of frogs to sit in a pot of water until it comes to a boil and die.
Yep, yep.
They do that. I don't understand it.
Yep.
You know, I wouldn't be in a pot warm or cold anyways. I like a pond, a big one. But anyways, so there's some people that we've talked to and they've gotten out of CalPERS. And there's some people that we've talked to, and they don't want to hear it. They just kind of want to stick their fingers in their ears and go la 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 like a little kid.
Yep.
And not face the reality of what's coming down the road.
Because they apparently can't handle the truth. I mean, if that's the case, they can't handle it.
Well, it is a hard. I can't imagine. I mean, I can't imagine being that close to retirement.
Mm-hmm.
And getting ready to go into my better years and having nothing and facing down that reality, and then once coming to accept that reality, going, okay, what do I do now?
Well,
and being told I don't know.
Well, and the thing is too, if they're that close to retirement, I would strongly encourage them to cash out. Mm-hmm. At least you're going to have the money you can turn into gold and silver, into actual gold and silver, not the paperback, but the gold and silver. That way you have a choice of what you can do with it, and you can spend it any way you choose. And that's what I would encourage them to do. At least they would have that portion of it versus losing it all.
Yeah.
And then being in your golden years and not having the money to do what you need to survive, you know?
Absolutely. You know, and the big motorhome may turn into a camp trailer. The houseboat might turn into a patio boat. And, you know, the big mansion might turn into a condo in Prescott, Arizona.
Yeah.
But you'll have something.
That's right.
You know.
And some people don't even have any of that.
I know.
You know, they're doing the apartment style thing right now, and that's all they're going to have. And that's okay. But at the same time, if you don't have the money to support that, you're not even going to have that.
Yeah.
And that's the scary part.
You know, and in the current job market, are you viable?
Right.
You know, unless it's Walmart where they got peasant tax on you so that if you die they can collect insurance.
Yeah.
I mean, is that really going to be the future for a bunch of Californians?
I don't know.
I'm afraid it is.
That I'm fearful for that as well. That's just really
But too there
scary.
Is a way to fix it.
There is.
And that's the state of Jefferson, because you bring representation back to the people,
mm-hmm.
you set us free, and we will build this economy with inside of 10 years the likes that will rival anything this nation has ever done.
We will, yes, we will surpass everybody on everything.
I can see the drive, I can see the potential, I can see in so many sectors, in so many, we will boom.
Yes.
And I'm just so hungry and thirsty for it myself, because I know it can happen.
And that's the silver bullet. Jefferson is the silver bullet for this whole process.
It is the only bullet
yes.
for this process. In 3 years, has anybody else come up with anything for a solution?
Not one.
Not one.
None of the elected representatives, not one of them, have offered. Once they've been painted into a corner, and they finally decide that they're going to have dialogue with us because we've got our hands on their shoulders saying, talk to me.
Yeah.
And they're scared to death. They don't know what to do. Or they're not scared to death, I should say. They're fat and happy because they're at the trough. But they don't have a solution. They don't even think about having a solution.
And you can always admit that you were wrong, and we will forgive you, Ish.
Ish. Yes, ish.
Yeah, ish. Depending on who you are. There's some of you that, no.
Yeah, not going to happen.
Ever.
Yeah.
Ever.
Yeah.
Nope. Yeah, I can think of the list right now.
Well, and next weekend, too, because we were talking about Keep It California, the head of that was out of Sierra County, and Sierra County is a beautiful little county up in the northeast here, and we're having a town hall there. Next weekend.
Fantastic.
So that's going to be happening there, so go Sierra County.
Absolutely.
And so we'll make it happen and get things moving and shaking over there. They're excited about it, and there's another wonderful team over there doing the moving and shaking and getting things done. So it's going to be fun to go over there and meet with their people and have dialogue.
Well,
it's all good.
Again, I think the government's starting to realize they're outnumbered.
I think so.
I think that's starting to get through to them, too.
That's good.
Well, with that, we better wrap it up. We're coming to the end of another hour. It is a gorgeous day out there. Go make good use of it.
Yep.
Go out and daydream a little bit. Think about what could be, what you could do. All right. Have a good one, Jefferson.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Michael Harrington. Experts say there is no causal relationship between the earthquakes in Ecuador and Japan. The Ecuadorian quake, which struck last night, killed at least 77 people and spread damage over hundreds of miles. Some evacuees in southwestern Japan's earthquake zone say food distribution is a bit meager, just 2 rice balls for dinner last night. Officials say 41 people have died in the twin quakes, 11 more are missing. Who to vote for? That's the question residents of New York are pondering as the state prepares for Tuesday's presidential primary. Anna Krangel is from New York City.
Probably Trump or, what's his name, Cruz. Cruz the other day was on TV saying all the good things he's going to do for Israel.
Nearly 100 Republican delegates are at stake. Polls indicate frontrunner Donald Trump is the likely winner. House conservatives are calling for the impeachment of IRS.